Hi, Netanita here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette Danada. Today, we're on What is the Last Judgment? And we're on Lesson 316.
What is the Last Judgment? Christ's second coming gives the Son of God the gift to hear the voice for God proclaim that what is false is false, and what is true has never changed. And this the judgment is in which perception ends. At first, you see a world which has accepted this as true, projected from a now corrected mind. And with this holy sight, perception gives a silent blessing and then disappears, its goal accomplished and its mission done.
The final judgment on the world contains no condemnation, for it sees the world as totally forgiven, without sin, and wholly purposeless. Without a cause, and now without a function in Christ's sight, it merely slips away to nothingness. There it was born, and there it ends as well. And all the figures in the dream in which the world began go with it. Bodies now are useless and will therefore fade away, because the Son of God is limitless.
You who believe that God's last judgment will condemn the world to hell along with you, accept this holy truth. God's judgment is the gift of the correction he bestowed on all your errors, freeing you from them and all effects they ever seemed to have. To fear God's saving grace is but to fear complete release from suffering. Return to peace, security, and happiness, and union with your own identity.
God's final judgment is as merciful as every step in his appointed plan to bless his Son and call him to return to the eternal peace he shares with him. Be not afraid of love, for it alone can heal all sorrow, wipe away all tears, and gently waken from his dream of pain the Son whom God acknowledges as his. Be not afraid of this. Salvation asks you give it welcome, and the world awaits your glad acceptance, which will set it free.
This is God's final judgment. You are still my holy Son, forever innocent, forever loving, and forever loved, as limitless as your Creator, and completely changeless and forever pure. Therefore, awaken and return to me. I am your Father, and you are my Son. What is the last judgment?
Lesson 316. All gifts I give my brothers are my own. As every gift my brother gives is mine, so every gift I give belongs to me. Each one allows a past mistake to go and leave no shadow on the holy mind my Father loves. His grace is given me in every gift a brother has received throughout all time and past all time as well. My treasure house is full, and angels watch its open doors, that not one gift is lost, and only more are added. Let me come to where my treasures are, and enter in where I am truly welcome and at home, among the gifts that God has given me.
Father, I would accept your gifts today. I do not recognize them, yet I trust that you who gave them will provide the means by which I can behold them, see their worth, and cherish only them as what I want. Lesson 316, all gifts I give my brothers are my own. I wanted to start, if we could today, just because I don't want us to run out of time in our 10 days. We've pretty much talked about paragraphs 1 and 2 in What is the Last Judgment? But in paragraph 3, so the first sentence, you who believe that God's last judgment will condemn the world to hell along with you, accept this holy truth. Well, you know, that's such a common belief, especially in a lot of religious circles, that God's last judgment will condemn the world to hell. And so this is where A Course in Miracles is really a course in undoing all of these fear-filled thoughts and beliefs, and also the really fear dogma that is prevalent in religion and prevalent in spiritual systems. Not really the spiritual system themselves, but just in interpretations can be so fearful. So it's really asking us to choose again, see things differently, and be open to another interpretation of who our Creator is. And I love this part. God's judgment is the gift of the correction He bestowed on all your errors. So, like, for me, that's kind of acknowledging, well, you know, you've heard day after day, year after year, decade after decade, maybe in your life, that, you know, if you do X, Y, Z, then you're going to be sent to hell. And the Course is saying that you are not guiltless in time, but you are in eternity. And so it doesn't mean that we don't do things that we shouldn't do, or that or others don't do things that they shouldn't do in when we're playing out these egoic iterations of who we are. However, that isn't who we really are. And who we really are is free of all those errors, freeing you from them and all the effects they ever seemed to have. Once again, pointing to that this isn't who we truly are. And what we see as, you know, individual aspects of the sonship really don't reflect on the sonship. We're seeing this more of an egoic making of these aspects of the sonship, because the Course says that anything that is physical actually is kind of like proof that there is this illusion of separation. Because we can say, oh, yes, there's Ada, there's Annette, there's the tree, there's the desk. And so we say, oh, I can see all these separate things. Separation must be true. And those are the errors. And then we say to fear God's saving grace is but to fear complete release from suffering. And so, you know, when we're willing to choose love over fear, there seems to be a lot of fear associated with that, because we say, you know, well, what if I'm wrong? Or, you know, this just seems scary if I really, really, really trust that I am love and I am loved and I am lovable. Really? And so, and yet he's saying that that is the release from suffering that we are all wanting. And then I just wanted to point out the word return, because we already know peace. We already know love. We had a tiny mad idea. Now, I don't know exactly what that looked like. Those are the words or symbols of symbols, and those are the symbols that the Course in Miracles uses. But we already know peace. There's a part of us that knows what's true. And so we're returning to peace, security, and happiness and union with your own identity. And our own identity is that the one son that is only love. So I just really wanted us to make sure we got to paragraph 3, because paragraph 3 is kind of very so much related to these lessons that we've been studying each day.
This reminds me so much of the lesson that says God does not forgive because he has never condemned.
Yes. Yeah.
Where we think God is condemning us at every moment. Or love is condemning us at every moment. Even if we just think like, oh, what's wrong there with me though? There's something flawed with me. Oh, there's something wrong with me. That is, in a sense, what we believe is love's condemnation. There's something wrong with me. When that is so backward to what love would actually be.
And that can be challenging, though, can it? When we've had experience in our lives that don't seem so loving, then we say, well, what's wrong with me? And that's where we can't really intellectualize this. We really want to do this through our heart, because, you know, we can talk ourselves out of accepting love, and it can sound like there's a great logic flow to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that's one of the defenses, actually, that we find in chapter 2. We have all these different kinds of defenses, whether it's withdrawal, distanciation. One of them is intellectualization, where in those defenses, as listed in chapter 2, they're actually double-edged swords, where they can be used as, you can say, defenses against the ego. They can also be used as defenses against love. And so we can use that intellectualization of, oh, what's wrong with me? And we can have a really good reason. The logic seems sound, but it's really just a defense actually against love.
Right. And so our lesson today then, to me, just takes us a little bit further, I guess, in my mind. So it says, His grace is given me, and every gift a brother has received throughout all time and past all time as well. My treasure house is full, and angels watch its open doors, that not one gift is lost, and only more are added. Let me come to where my treasures are, and enter in where I am truly welcome and at home among the gifts that God has given me. So I love the Course doesn't really talk about angels too much, but at the same time, when it does, it always shows me that we're not alone in this. We're not alone in our journey home, in our journey of remembering. And I take a lot of comfort in that.
Mm-hmm. I was really helped yesterday. So I think, you know, maybe an angel's an actual, you know, thing with wings, or it's just the other people in our lives.
Oh,
so yeah. Like I was really helped yesterday by our conversation about, oh gosh, dependent arising. Mm-hmm. Almost forgot the words, dependent arising. And so it just made me think, like, everywhere I looked, like, oh, the microphone. Well, someone had to mine this metal that mm-hmm. it's made out of. Mm-hmm. Someone had to then put it together. Then it had to be shipped. And then the packaging had to come from, like, paper. So there's a tree. And then not only all the stuff that went on the tree, like we talked about, someone cutting down the tree and turning it into a paper product. I mean, and then I was like, oh, my shoes. Like, oh, someone not only had to produce all the materials for it, whether it's the rubber sole and then the thread. It's like, oh, and then someone had to make it and had to have a box. And it's like everywhere I looked, it's like, oh my God, so much went into all of this. It's more than just like a shoe at the store or just a microphone you get at Best Buy or something like that. It's like so much went into it. Not only, oh yeah, don't forget Best Buy with a store and all like what goes into making a store. So like all this stuff, like there's this, even just an object, there is so much that went into just the creation of one object. Mm-hmm. Someone had to invent what a microphone is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where when you come from that perspective, I don't know, for some reason, gratitude is deeper.
Yes, that's what I was noticing. And it's like, I was already grateful for the thing, but I became so much more grateful for all the people that contributed to the creation of that thing. More than just the thing. It's like, oh, I'm so grateful for I have shoes for my feet. It's paled in comparison to, well, thank God all these other people were available and had the skill and the know-how to make the shoe.
And then when we take that further, it's people, but it's like, well, then
the plants and the,
and the, you know, the
minerals in the earth to
oxygen,
make the metal. Yeah.
And the sun and, you know, our air. And yeah, to me, it really helps us to see, number one, that we're connected, but also too that, you know, really that heart of gratitude is really a heart of gratitude. Mm-hmm. So on paragraph 2 here in our lesson, Father, I would accept your gifts today. I do not recognize them. And that really caught me today, because how many times have I thought that when something occurred that it was like the worst thing, and then years later it ends up to be like the very best thing. Yet I trust that you who gave them will provide the means by which I can behold them, see their worth, and cherish only them as what I want. Like, that's just my experience, is like, you know, I've had experience, I think we all probably have, where something happens and we thought, oh, you know, this is not good, or this is very bad. And then maybe years later, we can see, wow, if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't have the understanding that I have, or I wouldn't be standing in this moment right now and really have that appreciation for this moment.
That really puts in a whole different perspective, especially, so all gifts I give my brothers are on my own. Even what you're talking about, how this experience that could be the worst thing, but we're not recognized, we're maybe not at, don't have the capacity to recognize the gift in it.
Right.
So all the gifts then we give to others are actually us extending the gift that we were given by love.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that that chain, mm-hmm, where it's, we get the gift from love, and maybe we don't recognize it right away, but then we can provide, whether it's comfort and empathy to someone going through the same thing, or just, you know, maybe we're an angry person and we, mm-hmm, calm down, and then now we can give the gift of peace to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it all comes, like, we have to always remember what the source is, with capital S. It's like, we have our source, who we were created from, love, God, and all of the love has to actually come through from that source to us and then out to others.
Right.
That reminds me of what, in A Course in Miracles, we talk about, like, a revelation, where a revelation isn't like a revelation that most of the world talks about, where, oh yes, God showed me this path and now I'm going to take you all on it. A revelation is this direct experience of love that it's from God to a person, but then it's just for that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a singular experience, but then at the same time, that experience then can lead to the love that they recognize in themselves, they can then share with others, not in words like, oh, you need to just do these steps and now you can have a revelation too, but it's more the love that they've experienced, now they can then be loving to others.
Right. And, you know, I think we can get caught up in form, kind of, so this may be at the end kind of going off on a tangent, but, you know, when I,
go off.
Well,
go off,
you know, when I say some of the worst things then could end up to be the best, that doesn't mean that we can't have sadness in the worst thing. Like, I don't think those are mutually exclusive. So let's say, who comes to my mind is John Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And his little boy, Adam Walsh, was brutally murdered. And you would say, well, okay, so that would be like this devastating tragedy, and we don't want to minimize that. Because if we're minimizing that, then to me, we're not being real. Like, there was this horrific tragedy, but then John Walsh took that tragedy, and I've watched interviews of him, like, his heart is still broken because of his tragedy. And I think we can recognize the gifts and have a lot of gratitude for where we are today, and also kind of like that celebration and mourning that is taught in nonviolent communication. There can still be mourning that his little boy had to be, you know, that little boy that occurred, and also see the gift that he has given all other parents and and people who have lost people that they love. Like he's, because he came from this compassionate place that I really believe that he could only have achieved because he knows the pain, right? And so I think it's way beyond humankind to understand how this is all interwoven and how we work this. But I know that the love that is John Walsh then connected to the love that is everyone else that he has helped. And I just didn't want to leave us not acknowledging that some of these tragedies can be very tragic, and we can really acknowledge the tragedy and also acknowledging the love that we've been able to find through the tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't minimize the tragedy at all.
I don't want us to minimize the tragedy because mm-hmm. that to me wouldn't be.
That's a really good point. I'm glad, even though it's like right at the end, because what can happen is if we say, oh, I didn't recognize him, oh, this was the best thing, we can then even minimize the tragedy. Just like we can say, oh, this was a great life lesson, mm-hmm. but it doesn't. But then that can also minimize, oh, I shouldn't feel bad or I shouldn't be hurt because it turned out to be this wonderful life lesson. Like we can have just the crap of life, but then the seeds of love that come out of that, we can say, well, yeah, it was a horrendous event.
Yeah, and what I guess I take a lot of comfort in that, because those horrendous events, though, truly can't take away the love that we are.
Right.
And John Walsh would be a really good example of that for me, is because a horrific event couldn't take away the love that he has inside of him that then he was able to take to comfort others mm-hmm. and to assist and to help and, you know, do everything that he's done because of the tragedy. But I don't want to minimize tragedies because that... And even though, yes, technically those tragedies are in the ego thought system, they still are part of our experience here on Earth. And I don't think it's helpful for anyone not to acknowledge those.
No, no. And that's part of A Course in Miracles. Stuff like that happens. That's not from God.
Right. That's why there's, you know, sentences in The Course in Miracles, like you are not guiltless in time, but you are in eternity. In time, you know, there are bad people and bad events and horrific events. And so I just really wanted us to make sure that we said that before we said goodbye. So have a wonderful day practicing lesson 316. All gifts I give my brothers are my own. See you tomorrow.
See you then.